settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, a show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. And each week with our spirit friends, on the show we discuss a different topic of interest, and the hope is that through listening to those who continue to walk with us and who watch over us, we can offer you further options and choices to mull over and investigate within your own mind. And this week's show is called Sacred You.
That's sacred you too.
Absolutely.
Sacred everyone.
Yes, they are.
Well, hello, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our work, our books, CDs, or Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services that we offer, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium. And as usual, I'll be bringing through spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you and Sylvie. Now, I just say as usual because this is actually a condition and a situation that we've agreed upon with the spirit world. That is why it's always Gregory who comes through, because he's a spokesperson for a group of beings in the spirit world. Anyway, and so what's actually going to happen is Gregory will borrow my body for the rest of the show, and I won't be aware of anything that happens from then on, as my spirit and consciousness are taken elsewhere. I have a kind of out-of-body experience, if you like. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, and he's come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world, because that's what happens in the spirit world. People progress. I'll let Sylvie take it from here, as I'm going to go off and go to sleep, and in a few minutes, I'm sure Gregory will be here to talk to you. Goodbye.
Yes, we rely on that heavily. Sometimes he jokes with me. And,
who, Gregory?
Yeah, sometimes when...
Does he?
Yes, he pretends that he's not there. And
oh, nice.
Sits there expressionless. And I'm saying, hello, Gregory, are you with us? And he just doesn't do anything for a while, and he's trying to fool me that it didn't work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Anyway. So, apart from Gregory's many other tasks in the spirit world, like Mick said, he is the spokesperson for a massive educational group called the White Cloud Group. They consist of eminent scientists and scholars from all walks of life, and Gregory was asked to be the representative of the group by White Cloud himself, who is the shining one of the group. All soul groups have a shining one, as they're, well, we would call them leader, but they wouldn't like that because that sounds too hierarchical. But let's face it, you know, if you're pure love, then you're probably higher than we are. Anyway, Gregory's very modest, but we think it must have been because he has such an endearing personality and wonderful communication skills that he was selected to help humanity and save our world by the group. And I, for one, am very grateful that there are those on the other side, in another dimension, who still care enough to try to steer us towards a more peaceful spiritual path. And today is no exception, as we're going to be discussing Sacred You. And before we go into that, I'd just like to say that our next mini free Akashic reading show is on the 17th of May, that's Thursday, 17th of May, in between 1 and 2 p.m. And that is actually in England, the international time is, I think, between 9 and 10 p.m. in the evening. So we have a few spaces left. I will need your full name at birth, including middle names, your date of birth, telephone number, just in case I lose your email, and one question. And then you can email this to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will put your name down for the show. If we are booked up, I will put your name down for another show, or maybe you can make the evening, one of our evening shows on the Monday night. Anyway, just get in touch, enq@spirit-teaching.com, if you want a mini Akashic reading. And those who want to phone up for today's show, the number to call in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-810-8322. International callers isn't toll-free yet, I'm afraid, but it's really not an expensive call. I'm actually going to find out next time somebody phones up for an Akashic reading from England how much it costs them. They're going to tell me afterwards, and that would be good. Anyway, the international call is 001-530-876-3222. Okay, and today is not Akashic readings, I have to stress. And the Akashic reading shows is only if you book up, actually. But today we're going to be talking about a topic called the sacred you, and we're going to find out all about that now. So, hello, Gregory.
Hello, friend. With love and light, as always, be upon your pathway and your journey.
Thank you. Okay, so, the sacred you.
Yes.
The sacred everybody?
The sacred everyone. Everyone is this feeling, is this desire, emotion, contemplation, and realization, all rolled into one. First of all, we need to talk about desire, because it is a situation of what it is that you actually have in your mind, dear friends, each and every one of you. You are responsible, in part, for what you have in your minds. After all, you allow it to be there. You allow your thoughts to grow of a certain way. So, if you are having negative thoughts about someone else, that means that you are growing them yourself. They're coming from your own anguish, your anger, your desire of harm. And these are things which are coming to you that you are fermenting in your own mind and within your own soul. They are being recorded as emotions which diminish your soul's vibration. That's what they do. So when you have an ill thought about someone else, just a thought, that's what you are doing. A bit like, I suppose, if you actually had an orange or something like that, and you had bruised it, and after a little while, the bruise actually comes out in the orange. It takes some time, you see, because what happens is that the impact from the bruise actually makes the cells break down. Because of their damage, it means that the juices from the orange are actually not flowing along the little tiny capillaries, as it were, the highways within the orange itself to give it the nutrients of life that it needs to continue in its stability. And just like that orange, when you actually think of a thought and you bring it to your mind, you ferment it, you grow it with more anger, feed it with a little bit more pestilence, and there it is. You have damaged your soul from creating that thought, from bringing it about. And that's just a thought. What do you think you're going to do with physical action, which you create as harm towards someone else? Thoughts are things, I admit, that you may want to keep inside of you, but actually if you have a bad thought, it actually creates upon your auric field. And that is something that other people with sensitivity will pick up upon. Do you remember the situation of walking into a room full of people, perhaps? And there has been an argument, and you feel as though you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. And all of that feeling, all of that pent-up aggression is something which leaves the vibration, leaves it upon the walls, leaves it upon the outer edges of the auric field of every single individual in there, even though they have tried to protect themselves and all of that. Even if they haven't actually been a part of that argument, it is still left a vibration upon them and has diminished them. This is something to realization. To bring realization to the foreground of your life and understand that you are actually responsible for it, your own and other people's. That is just exactly why, my dear friend, that if you go to a church, a spiritual center or something like that, or you meet with other people where they are of like mind, perhaps you meet in a circle, a spirit circle, and you all have the same goal. You've left all of those negative situations and problems of your life outside of the door as you walked in, and you actually feel very positive, you feel very harmonic at this time. And that is something then which helps you all to grow, because you all feel a part of that energy. The situation is that part of the way through realization, you will understand that there is a need to bring about this pathway to include your positivity, your love within. I know we've talked about this so often, the love within itself, how do we let it out? You actually let it out and would find it much easier to let it out if you didn't harbor the negativity of the bruised orange. If you didn't allow that to fester upon your life. This would be something then that would actually bring you a great deal of relief if you stop thinking in that way. So this is a part of the sacred you that we are talking about. How to really cope with and understand the actual structure of health that you are bringing on to yourself if you think negative thoughts. If you don't think negative thoughts, then your cellular structure will be much more happier with your life. And your experiences will become more glowing, will become more centered and positive, and all of those other positive traits that you so desire as a physical being. What then if you don't actually see this as a road of possibility for your life? Perhaps you're someone who lives in an inner city or something like that. I know it isn't that great. It isn't that good. And life can be so difficult. If you are living, as it were, in a poor place, or that you have little food or low quality food, what is it that you are really going to do? How are you going to see the sacred you within that if you don't see the sacred you within everything else? Because you're all connected. That's my point. You are all connected to every single other thing. So just as though, remember the feelings perhaps of you driving along a country road and you accidentally have an accident with a squirrel or something. You feel that so difficult, that is so bad for you, and it feels as though it actually impacts upon you. You can overcome it by relieving the situation of that distress. Understand, perhaps say a prayer for the animal that you just knocked over, that you collided with. wasn't necessarily your fault or theirs. So to try not to carry these things with you.
Okay, hello, caller.
Hello there, Sylvie. Hello, Gregory. This is Brian.
Hello, Tony.
Brian.
Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Yes, hello, friend.
Hello there.
Hello.
As I'm listening to you speak, it is amazing about the sacred you and how our negative thoughts really do give off a vibration. And my thing is, as I'm seeing this unfold, is it would be amazing if the world could learn to slowly observe without judgment, moving into one's self-appreciation. Because if one, it seems like as one moves into one's self-appreciation, then those around them or groups, everything flows naturally, flows without any less negativity.
Absolutely so. The point, you see, that people have dealings with is that perhaps for many people, they are actually used to behaving in a certain way. They recoil at certain situations in their life because that's the way they've always done it. So much of people's life experience becomes habits. That's the point that we're trying to make. And that what people fail to see is that they don't have to step in the realm of habit in the life, because that is something, because you didn't have a reason for understanding. So part of the situation of when you are exploring the real sacredness of yourself is to understand that if you can see beyond what you were the previous day, then don't act in the same way that you did the previous day, but actually respond to how you are feeling now. However do you think you as a human being are going to be able to climb out of any pit of distress or any other situation? And I know that human beings are face-to-face with distressing situations at any time of their life, and you have to be able to cope with it. But if you allow past distress to then follow on to your day, it depresses your energy, your index vibration sinks, because that is something which is actually then affecting your auric field. And your whole sense and stance and harmonic vibration of energy, which is you. So everything that you do, if you just rely on the thoughts of yesterday, that is something which is going to complicate and cloud what you're thinking now. It means that you cannot respond purely to the reasoning that you are discovering now. So how else are you going to be able to take the clouds away from your eyes
and see the real you? Is it just kind of getting into the moment, living in the moment, the eternal now, not so much thinking about the past as much or the anticipation of the future? It's just living in the now and making the most of it.
Oh, absolutely so, my friend. Absolutely so. That is part of the problem, I feel, that however human beings face. Let me just lead you down a little a pathway a moment. And that of describing, you see, how people think in terms of, oh, well, this is happening in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so the focus is on the future. It is in thinking, oh, well, this is going to be a positive horizon that I can work toward.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, the horizon you need to work toward is a happy now.
Yes,
and a happy
exactly.
Just the evening of this day.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this begins with the morning, with how you accept the morning and how you want to tackle it, how you want to win it, overcome the hurdles of repression that you had yesterday. Those aren't the same hurdles that you have today. The trouble is that people just carry them over as though they are possessions. You don't have to possess that negativity. You can actually, even if you are a person who wakes up suddenly with no arms, like many of the soldiers have done, many of the people who are fighting wars suddenly wake up and they have bits and pieces of them missing, how are they going to cope with this? They have to understand what they had yesterday was yesterday. And what they have now, they have to face and move forward with it.
Yes.
Move forward with it and not see way into the future, because that could be something far too daunting.
And it's too anticipated.
You need to break it down into small little pieces so mm-hmm. that you can accept just one day at a time.
Well, thank you, Gregory, and thank you, Sylvie.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Look forward to speaking to you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yes, it's the old saying about that accepting what you can change, can't change, rather, isn't it? Accepting the things that you can't change.
Yes. And the point is that the things that you can't change are usually registered with the past. That's why you can't change them. They're in the past. So instead of using and co-creating with that energy of the past, because that is what you are actually doing, is when you are bringing up the thoughts of what you did in the past or what you didn't do, how you responded to this and the negativity you created with that, all of those things that you are doing in thinking those thoughts and bringing those reasonings, those memories to your mind, what you are doing is you are decreasing your energy and your vibration. You are not allowing yourself to accept new possibilities upon your day. Take, for example, a human being who has reached to the age of 80 or 90. They may well feel, well, what do I have left today? What do I have left of my life now, apart from the memories of the happy days, the happy fields of my life, and those worry lines which creased and folded my skin and left tears of shame and consternation and difficulty? My friends, are you still going to connect with that thought and those feelings of the negative parts, the pathways that you created or were a part of? These are facets of your life which do not become you, because you have learned beyond that, have you not? For surely you are looking at some pathways about your life and you are thinking how much you enjoyed dancing, all the loves of your life, how these relationships grew with brothers or with sons and daughters, grandchildren, all of this pathway of your life experience, bringing you rich tapestries of what you deserve. And as I say, if you contemplate those in a way of foreboding, in the way of, I wish I could have these again, or wanting to be in that same situation, well, you're not, because you've grown forward from that. It has been a part of your experience, a segment of the pathway which has actually helped you shape you now. And that's why you're the being you've become. If you're a being then who sits there at the year of 70 or 80 years of age and all you have is painful memories, and think on this, those of you who are 17 and 18 years of age or in between that, think on this, that what you want to create when you're 70 and 80 is not memories of shame and disillusionment. You do not want to think that you have failed your pathway. What you want to do is like Jacques Cousteau. Understand that I have tried to do something for humanity and all life of being state, to help all beings survive, to understand that all beings can be revealing their own sacred state within the moment. And just think of all those beings who have created harm and who could now really, literally, step forward and do something well again. It's only because if you dwell in that moment of negativity that when you eventually become 70 or 80 years of age and you are thinking back upon your life, that you will perhaps reflect upon how miserable that has actually made you. What a wasted life that you created through bathing in that negativity and allowing it to overcome you, to succumb to its aura and its pull. Because, do not forget, my friends, these feelings are something of a drug. Just the same as drinking tea and coffee, just the same as drinking beer, having a cigarette. Not that I'm saying that drinking beer is wrong, or wine, or anything else. If you want to do that, then do it. But don't think negatively about it. If you can see a positive pathway through doing that situation, through creating it, then be fixed with the positive pathway, even if it is you stepping into unreality for your life. Even if you are, it means that you are being blinkered about the state of your life and what you're creating. So, my dear friends, as Brian said, if you are looking and observing, if you're trying to find reason for your life, understand the sacred you. Understand that being and living in now is the key to it.
Absolutely. And I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Nick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing the sacred you. And if you have a question or a comment, just joining with our conversation, do phone us. It's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. International callers, it's not toll-free, but I do believe it's not too expensive, and it's 001-530-876-3222. And after all, it's only a short call, so we'd love to hear from anybody. That would be great. So that's interesting, Gregory. You were saying about it being habitual, sort of like a drug, really, how we react to drugs. So would that be like a stereotypical behavior as well? Because that's a pheromonic thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely so, yes, because your cellular structure thinks and desires that part, that pathway of chemical reaction that you create within yourself through going through that negativity, because you have a part of a rush from it, perhaps.
Even if it's a rush that we don't like.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. It's still an injection of chemical wavery, which gives you a sense of achievement, even that if that is a low achievement. So that is something similar to the way that people feel when they actually take someone else's life. They actually feel that possession of power at last, because they have been inadequate in their life and have been bereft of power. That's something perhaps for you to remember, that when you observe someone who has taken someone else's life, that they were not just negligent of their own duty of care, but that they were actually lacking in something in order to create that response, because they didn't have the wherewithal to actually do it for themselves, to actually create it in a different way. And they merely succumb to that form of energy. as I say, this is really to do with the cellular memory and cellular structure detail, which means that your cells are actually responding in a pheromonic way to the activities of chemical interaction within the body. And that's what's actually happening. So much of the situation of people being locked into negativity is because they're used to doing that, feeling that way. And that's something that some people, if they are in that situation, feel as though they have a right to be there, that that's their lot, that they do not then see any further beyond that. But the point is that you are a sacred being. Every single one of you, no matter what it is that you've done in your past, whatever it is that you have created through your life experience, that is something with which you are locked upon only within the mind and only necessarily, possibly, within the physical state, because that is something that your cellular memory thinks about, and because you created it there. So that is something that you have to actually undo, have to unpick it, and realize that you can create something else. And you can do that, of course, very first thing in the morning. That's the best time to learn to co-create your own life, not to allow it to overtake you, but create it for your life, for your enjoyment, for your happiness, for the happiness of others. To actually bring fulfillment to your life is, for some people, very difficult because of being locked within this prism, this captivity, if you like, of wanting to have the same pheromonic activity day after day. So they completely repeat the experience day after day. So that's why people go out shoplifting and that kind of thing, stealing, thievery, or perhaps beating up on someone else, being negative towards someone else, being gross towards someone else, just because that gives them a feeling of well-being, empowerment, self-empowerment. They can't see self-empowerment in any other way through positivity because they don't have a positive shred to hook onto, don't have a positive attitude within a self. Look into the mirror and see nothing.
Well, people who are poor and really have not, don't feel that they have a lot going for them at all in their lives, that they actually will not get anywhere materially, and as they look around them, they just get desperate and more negative. They seem to be more, this is a bit of a generalization, more likely to do the violence and that sort of thing, the violent acts, possibly.
Yes.
But people who are already up the ladder, who have got lots of money, who are negative, actually deal out that negativity that they feel for whatever reason in a different way, in a more, it's using power in a different way, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely so. The point, of course, to remember is that there are many people who are impoverished who still can see that they have a chance, perhaps through education, well done them. Education is so important. That is what is going to bring people out of the morass of negativity. Education is, in a sense, the key, because many people who are negative because of a lack of understanding. Understanding comes with education.
But you see, you don't get rich, wealthy, famous people going around beating other people up, do you?
Not usually.
That's what I mean. You know, it's
exactly.
Just a different way, or shoplifting for the buzz, or any other thing.
Well, no, some do.
Well, yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, my friend, some do.
Okay.
But that is actually more of a clinical situation because what they're realizing is that they are, perhaps in hindsight, they have been aligning themselves to this exact same thing that I'm talking about, the pheromonic activity of what happens when you create something negative in your life. It may be that it isn't something that you have to do, but you want to do it because of the actual situation which is created then within your cellular structure as a physical being. From doing that, you are releasing pheromonic activity, you are having a heightened sense of awareness. At the time that you do it, you feel that you have actually achieved something over someone else. because you've been powerless, perhaps in other ways in your life, to accept change. That is something that you have to confront as a physical human being, and as a pathway to gaining the upper house knowledge of your spirit. Because without you having this resolution of your life, you aren't going to become acknowledged with your spirit. So you really need to be able to start, even if that's at the bottom. And that's my point, really, that it doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor. You can still fall into this same trap. And likewise, you can be within that trap, even if you're poor, and climb out of it. You can see things of amusement which make you smile, which hearten your life. And these things are worth reflecting upon, not the negative ones, but these more divine situations which help you to see something more of yourself. Now, for example, that if you are a being who is, shall we say, not well off, you're materially poor, yet you are a happy being. If you create further happiness, perhaps through some gift that you have, music, it doesn't matter what style of music it is, it doesn't matter whether it is something which is concurrent now with the flavor of music as it stands. It doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. Because what is important is that you create something which is an archetypical standpoint of your own self state. That's the point we need to make here. And that for every single being, you do have a gift. You're not left without it. You haven't been bereft of it. The poorest of beings has a gift of spirit. Even if you don't even have a house or any place to live, if you live in the back of a car like many Native American peoples, then you, instead of wallowing in your drink and alcohol or in your pity of self, you actually step perhaps to bridging the communion between yourself and your ancestors, seeing how that connection can work for you. That doesn't mean to say this is something that you just pluck out of the air, but you have to make effort for it, to allow interaction to work for you from both sides of life. And in this way, you will actually create something of beauty out of the most crass disasters. Something can come. That doesn't mean to say that you just create disasters in order to sit and wait for things, good things to come out of them. Like wars, that's something that tends to happen there, don't you think? People create war upon another nation. And then sometime down the road wonder why they did it. Was it worth all the lies that were sacrificed? Was it worth all the lies that were told? And all of the red faces that came up when they're found out. Is it really worth that cast of negativity to create that for a whole nation? How can people think so lowly of themselves and of others? Simply because they think so lowly of themselves. So a person who makes war on someone else is making war on themselves. They're doing it to themselves, creating their own pain through the suffering they create in others. So think on this, my dear friends, when you see people suffering in a foreign land. You are suffering too. You may think that you are overcoming them, that you're triumphant, like the passionate armies of Christendom, when they overtook the marauding hordes of Moors and Islamists. But all of this only reflected upon their own poor inner state. They weren't defending Christianity. they were creating mayhem on themselves and lowering their own energy vibration, not understanding their sacred state within a self.
Well, this can be the difference between making a decision when you're feeling positive and when you're feeling negative. Because if you were feeling positive, you wouldn't be creating a war, deciding to make war, would you? Do you know what I mean?
No, exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, really, it comes down to that.
Yes, because that if the basis of your decision is that you have created that decision out of lack of desire for communication, then you have failed, have you not? Simple. It's so simple. You've failed. If you cannot be bothered to talk anymore, if you think that war is the only answer, then everything has failed in your life. You have failed as a human being to create that circumstance. It doesn't matter if you are confronting the most ugly demon on the planet, or from the depths, as you see it, or as you may see it, of hell. That is something that you have in your mind and contaminates your mind from the very excesses of aggravation and negativity you think toward it. You do not think in the way of overcoming that situation through understanding, through really, truly understanding where has that come from in yourself and within that other person or that other being. That's really what you've got to think about. Not that you just take the easy route, reach for the gun and shoot them, but that you actually take responsibility for yourself and understand why you are reacting the way you are. Because you see them as a threat? A threat to what? A threat to you personally? No. A threat to your livelihood? No. Maybe it is a threat to your life. What then? Do you accept your fate as the Amish girls accepted their fate? Not that it was foretold, not that they'd made the agreement beforehand in the spirit world, or the agreement beforehand with their parents to face their fate in this way when their Terminator came to them. It isn't anything to do with that. And it is a complete aberration of knowledge and truth to say that that's a fact. It isn't. It's poor justice. It's a poor decision by one being to overtake and overpower someone else. And that is exactly what war is. A decision to overtake and overpower someone else. For your own need, for your own desire. Not of stability, but quite possibly for your own desire for power. People, I understand, do create war. They do have extreme repression upon other peoples, just in the same way that they have done for centuries. And that perhaps is something that should be stopped. I have no doubt. No doubt whatsoever. But it needs to be something which is done in such a massive way, so overpowering, that it is seen by those you are defeating as that they have absolutely nowhere else to turn. If that is what you really have to do, if you make that decision. Otherwise, you have to talk, you have to communicate, you have to understand the position of where they have come from. And really, believe me, friends, if you are in that position of that you have to overcome someone and take their life, you have almost taken your own by doing that. That is not being sacred to yourself. That is allowing circumstance to overrun with you, that you have finished communication. So there's nothing else to do then. You just as well act worse than animals.
Well, talking of animals, it's a bit like trying to subdue a vicious dog while he's fighting. I mean, you know.
Yes, absolutely so. The best thing you can do with that is to isolate it. Isolate it first. And then you can actually find that, as with most animals, these situations are created for a reason. And there is a reasonable behavior behind what has actually occurred. So, if you actually have a dog, which, shall we say, for example, that becomes violent, there is usually a doorway of how that animal became violent. If you have a group of people or a group of beings who become violent toward others, there is a reason behind it. People don't do it just for the love of it. They do it because of circumstance, because situations have been created toward them, which then mean that they are at a disadvantage and feel that disadvantage, feel that they are being overcome, overwhelmed, perhaps by pressures of materialism, perhaps by pressures of other things, love, interest. That's what happens to human beings. That's what happens to animals. And you all react in the same way because you're all animals. If you understand the sacred state of yourself, you would also understand that while you are in that vibration of being extremely negative or fighting for your life, you are thinking in that way. You're not thinking in terms of deliverance, of the perfect union with your spirit. You are thinking in terms of repossession of power. That's what you're trying to create. The sacred part of yourself actually has a completely different way. But for many people, they have left it, lost it, gone without for so long they can't remember what it feels like. That's why it is so important for people to understand their relationship with their own sacred inner space. Because that is something which can remind you, every single one of you, of how to connect with that sacred you.
I think one of the most difficult things, and I'm not talking about the level of negativity and violence that we were just talking about, but really for generally for people on a daily basis.
Yes.
It's hard sometimes to realize when you are thinking negatively, and I know I've said this before in other shows, it's difficult to tell when you are in a negative, shall I say, spiral.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Apart from the obvious things, crying and things
yes, quite so. But
thinking negative about your life.
Yes, and it is as though, almost as though you have untrained thoughts, that you just allow your mind to wander and to suddenly pick up on something which was negative about your past, or it doesn't have to be a negative situation. It can just be a negative feeling that you had, almost as though you're reassuring yourself that those negative feelings are still there, like you missed them somehow, like missing having a tomato in a sandwich.
It's difficult. I think we all know people that we'd love to be able to say to them, you know, look, yes, awful things do happen tend to happen to you in your life, and I do feel for you, but do you realize that, you know, if you changed your pattern of thinking, your way of thinking, into a more positive thought direction, then your life, you could change your life. It would turn around, and most people would get offended, wouldn't they?
Well, yes, of course, because they want to say, well, no, that's not me. Of course.
That's not me, and I deserve to be feeling like this, because...
Yes.
This and that does happen to me.
Yes, because this is what is happening. This is what other people are creating upon me. Well, don't allow them to create upon you in that way. Step around it. If people are being extremely negative toward you, if they are giving you a poor outcome, perhaps in the quality of food that you eat, shall we say, fruit and vegetables, things like that, if all you feel is that you can eat poor quality food because that's all you can afford, then you are just going to fill up on unnecessary things, which are not going to be that good for you. It is actually much better for you if you can understand that if you, shall we say, that you buy an apple or you buy an orange, which is large and juicy and actually is going to be something that would do you a great deal of good, perhaps it's organic, then what you really need to do is to save up and buy that and eat it. And then you'll understand that the goodness that comes from that is going to be something far better for you than if you'd had two of the poorer ones. That's exactly the same in any other food group that you want to look at. So if you are a person, shall we say, who eats a great deal of potato chips, I believe they call them here, or just potato in general, or white rice, or something like that, if that's what you eat, then you are going to become filled very quickly, and that will, in a sense, sate your appetite for a short while, and then, like all good carbohydrates, it will vanish, and then you'll feel hungry again. But actually, what will happen is all that carbohydrate will actually bulk out your weight and your diet, so that you won't actually feel that impressed to eat good things for your life. So if you eat less of those, that will be something which will be better for you if you then eat better quality food for your life.
So you're saying that we need to eat, live a more holistic way of life?
Oh, absolutely.
All round, really?
Absolutely, yes. There's far too many chemicals, far too many chemicals, far too much salt.
Sugar.
And sugar, yes. But salt really is an absolute killer.
Yes, I think if everybody looked on the packets, on the produce that they buy, you would be really, really shocked about how much sodium goes into the food. If, you know, it's sometimes you only bother looking because of maybe you have a problem or something, and then it's just a shock. It's amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. And actually, my dear friends, it actually creates negativity.
Go on.
Well, it does, because of the activity of how you react when you take in salt. It actually crusts your veins.
Mm-hmm.
It encrusts them. So what you're actually doing is restricting your blood flow. And this is something which, of course, will then create difficulty for you. It will create difficulty for you in your metabolic rate. It will lower your vibration. However, interestingly enough, if you actually put a small amount of salt in water, you are more likely to stabilize the atmosphere around you. So that is something perhaps worth remembering. For example, for deionization and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Go ahead. So when you're on the computer, basically.
Oh, yes, quite so. So if you want to lessen the frantic molecular structure, electrostatic, that is around you when you are doing things with electrical equipment, then really just simply have a small bowl of water with a little salt in it.
Absolutely.
And that will actually help to stabilize your atmosphere. The point is, however, that you need to stabilize your life as a human being and as a fellow spirit traveler. Understand that you really do have the necessary wherewithal, you just have perhaps never met it yet. You need to understand that by being in place of who you really are, the desire of what you are, and recognizing that desire is something which will then help you to fulfill your life. If you don't, then you will feel that, as I began, by the time that you reach the age of 70 or 80 years, you will feel deep regret. You will feel as though you have wasted your life, all those years of negativity. And that will be your dream, that will be your remembrance, that of negativity. And instead of that, what you really need is to fix upon the pathway that is your sacred spell within, that spell of your sacred state, that is you.
Well, I think it was the description likening us to an orange was pretty good. I thought that was excellent.
Oh, well, thank you very much, friend. I'm so pleased you enjoyed that bit.
Well, yes. We can do these shows week after week, and it might seem some weeks that we have covered these situations before, but if you can explain something at a different angle, to some people, certain ways make more sense.
Yes, quite so. And that's the point, really. We may feel as though we are batting the same crease, that we are actually continually spouting about the same things, the same, using the same language. But actually, what we are doing is we are creating different routes, different pathways for you to understand the same thing. That is, that you are all, each and every one of you, individually beautiful. Within a self, you are beautiful. You may not feel it at this moment in time. You may feel great aggravation. But believe me, my dear friends, there are pathways where you can become who you really deserve to be. Not negative, not depressed, not steeped in the exclusion that your society may have of you, but be able to realize the gifts within a self that everyone possesses, every single being, without question, without leaving anyone out of this situation. Every single being has something to offer everyone else, because that is a part of your divine pathway to the sacred you within.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light. Be happy on your pathway, dear friend.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. I'd like just to mention again that we have our mini free Akashic reading shows. The next one on a Thursday is the 17th of May in between 1 and 2 p.m. That's 9 and 10 p.m. in the UK. We will need your full name at birth, including the middle name, your date of birth, telephone number, just in case your email goes awry. One question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. And if you would like a full Akashic reading, I mean, these mini Akashic readings are really just a snippet, but Gregory does cram quite a bit into them. As you know, he can talk quite well. Anyway, so the Akashic readings are just fantastic. You can have one that lasts 30, 40, 50 minutes. You can have a one-to-one with Gregory, a personal private reading, one-to-one. Or you can have them by email, and any of those you will receive on a disc afterwards, a signed CD of your own to keep. Don't forget we have other services as well, geophysical stress surveys for your property, surveys for paranormal activity in your home, and animal health diagnostic service. If you've come to the end of your tether with your veterinary surgeon or whatever, then we're the people to get in touch with. Okay, you can find out all about this on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. So, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Brian for your phone call. We hope everybody will join us next week. My name is Sylvie Avery, and thank you for listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.